Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
It seems lately the prevalence of gun violence is raising to epidemic proportions. My guest is Dr. Denise Dowd. She's a practicing pediatric emergency medicine physician. And so I would imagine, Dr. Dowd, that you are seeing this rise in gun violence. Tell us a little bit about the prevalence of gun violence and who really are at the highest risk. That's what parents want to know is, are our children at risk if we live in a nice suburb, in a nice neighborhood? We're not where that happens. Is that true?
Guns are present in 43%, so nearly 50% of homes that have kids in them have at least one gun. And the average number of guns in people that own guns homes is about three. So guns are out there. Now, when we hear, about school shootings, which of course make the news and are absolutely horrific, and that's the kind of thing we think about, those actually, as horrific as they are not the most common type of gun events that we have involving kids. The truth of the matter is that gun violence kind of goes into three pots, right? It goes into, for kids at least, and I'm speaking about kids, is little kids who are curious, you know, getting into things they shouldn't get into, and in this case it's a gun, and finding a gun and it being loaded and then firing it, injuring themselves or another person. That's one pot. The other pot is a large pot of kids who are involved in assault-related events, and whether they are victimized by crime or they're victimized in a drive-by, or whether they themselves are involved in activities that are high-risk activities, gang activity or gun activity, or drug activity. And those things are the assault-related incidents that end up in non-fatal assault injuries and then homicides. Those are older teenagers, 14, 15, 16 years of age. And then the third, and this is a large portion of the pie, is kids who injure themselves in suicide-related events with a gun. And those guns usually come from their homes or the home of a family member. And so those are the three main pots. And those kids, again, are older. They're usually 12, 13, 14, 15 years old. So that's sort of what I would call the epidemiology of gun violence in this country.
Well, and I think that people that are, you know, it's a big debate and we're not getting into it on this show, but the pro-gun and, you know, all the different lobbies going on, they don't realize that when a teenager, they're so emotional anyway, they're, you know, nuts to begin
impulsive.
With. And if they break up with a boyfriend and it's the worst thing that's ever happened in the world, if there's a gun in the house, it can make a real complicated problem go away very easily, whereas if they had to think about it and try and plan something, it probably wouldn't happen. It becomes that much easier for a permanent solution to be that devastating.
That's right. You know, it's a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And you point out very accurately, in fact, you just described the first case of a gun death that I ever had to pronounce. I'm an ER physician here. And the very first case of a gun death that I had to pronounce in the ER, right, time of death and all of that stuff, was exactly what you just described. He was 14 years old, first girlfriend. His girlfriend broke up with him. He had a .22 rifle in his closet. It was given to him. He was a rural kid, and this is sort of a rite of passage. And he knew how to use the gun, and he knew how to clean it, and he knew how to be safe with it, and he had all of the gun safety training in the world. And he had this gun in his closet, but because he had access to it, he got despondent and in a moment grabbed that gun and created an unfortunate permanent solution. His parents never saw it coming. In fact, they said over and over again, he knew how to use the gun. He knew how dangerous it was. He was educated in the conservation classes.
But he also knew how quickly the gun could end his suffering, whereas, you know, taking pills you know, or throwing yourself in front of a train seems a really hard and messy way to do it. That's just right there in your own comfortable house and easy enough to do. And you're giving me chills telling me even about that. So speak to the parents listening. You know, when we say that these kids are at risk, what do you think are necessary legislative and regulatory approaches to protect children? I mean, is this something the government can or should do?
Well, you know, I speak to what, you know, I think the most important thing, and the government's going to do what the government does, right? I mean, but the fact of the matter is there's 300 million guns in the country, right? And there's no
Did you say 300 million?
Yes. And so that's almost one for every man, woman, and child. And there's not going to be, we're not going to disarm America. That's not going to happen. The Constitution has already been interpreted by the Supreme Court to indicate that we as Americans have the, as individuals, have the right to own a gun. So these are not going to be, you know, we're not getting rid of these. And so I think it comes down to a real grassroots effort. And sure, we need better gun regulation things out there. You know, we definitely need to close the gun show loophole. We probably definitely need a universal registration system. And that's going to be debated. And, you know, certainly the American Academy of Pediatrics supports those measures. But most importantly, right now, what people can do, you know, you can't wait for Washington to do their thing and get through their fights, is to start to have conversations in your own families, in your own neighborhoods about this, and talk about guns in the home, not from a prying or a judgmental type of way, because I know that those conversations can go that way because it's such a hot topic, but talk about it in a way that you consider the kids in the mix and understand a few things. And one is that if there's a kid in the home, your home, or the home of your family member, your neighbor, who has problems, who is depressed, who is anxious, who may have some out-of-control behavior problems, that the safest thing for that kid, the safest thing is to live in a home without a gun. All right? That's the safest thing. And to talk about solutions for that. You know, maybe the gun is temporarily stored in another place. But one thing we know is that, like you said, when kids have access to lethal means, they grab it and use it without thinking. So the best thing is just to take it away. And sure, you're not going to hide all the knives and all the pills, but the thing of it is the case fatality rate for a gun is extraordinarily greater than that for a knife or pills. We have a chance to intervene on that. With one gun shot to the head, there is really no chance. I mean, you know, if you survive in a very horrible, disabled way.
But well, and with thing. All and with everything with concealed carry going on in all the different states, and that, you know, we only have a minute left, but give the parents a little bit of a help in discussing that particular topic with their kids, because maybe kids are now going to be scared that people can walk into their school with a gun hidden in their pocket.
Yeah, and the worst thing you want, you know, the worst thing that you want to happen is for a child to be scared, and that is a really hard one because of all the stuff on the media. I mean, assuring kids that they are, in fact, safe. If you look at all the statistics, these horrible things happen, but schools are, nonetheless, are fairly safe places for kids to be. And I think you have to reassure your kids of that as much as you can. But kids need to know that there are guns in their environment. They're going to go to friends' houses, right? They're going to go there. They may see a gun. Of course, they have to be told not to touch it. But most importantly, it's up to the adult in those situations to ask those parents in those homes, is there a gun in the home? My kid's coming over. I need to know. Not judgment on you. My kid is very curious. I'm neurotic. I got to ask you.
That's a whole discussion in itself, Dr. Levy.
Yeah.
And when you're thinking, parents, about the risk to adolescents in terms of suicide prevention, then the legislation and the approaches, the regulatory approaches to protect children from gun violence should be clear. This is Melanie Cole for Healthy Children. Really, it's all about keeping our children safe, isn't it? Stay well.